Ladies and gentlemen, we've spoken a lot about the fact that during the grand solar minimum, we experience a wavy jet stream. It's called meridional flows, where pockets of cold air sneaks down, and they call that lately a polar vortex, or warm air will sneak up, and they scream about global warming. The latest example of this is happening right now as the polar vortex descends across the U.S., and all eyes are on my home state of Texas, where it's just not supposed to get this cold. You know, people don't usually wrap their pipes that aggressively, and sometimes they don't even build pump houses, because why would you? It doesn't get that cold in Texas. But it is now, and this is an example of how our infrastructure is built to withstand certain thresholds. It's very bespoke, and when conditions exceed those thresholds, things break down. It sounds a lot like the reports I was putting out 2 years ago when nuclear power plants were going off in the northeast part of the U.S. because coolant was freezing in the pipes, and they had to shut down the nuclear power plants. But today it's in Texas, and so a lot of people are speaking about this. Of course, it is extremely dangerous situation with the grid down all day. It becomes a cascading series of failures. Without power, the stores close and you can't get food. Without power, the pumps don't pump and you can't get gas. So it is legitimately a real problem, a lot of dangerous situations going on, and people suffering. And so in the wake of this, you will absolutely hear for better regulations, and we need to look at, you know, why did we all get this huge power bill after this thing happened? And you can expect, just as happened in the wake of the PG&E fires, that all of the Texas utilities will start to look at microgrids, which is exactly something that's spelled out in Agenda 2030. We need to move towards microgrids and local small power generation, which of course comes with that cost. It's more resilient, but you don't get as much power out of them. You'll have only a small energy allowance. So the events that are happening today do have that element of spelling out the future here. You're going to see people call for microgrids for increased resiliency, but then, yeah, we're going to have to ration your power for the rest of time. That, of course, is what happens when we are all suffering through the green agenda, the fact that they've put these ridiculous turbines up there that are freezing in place. This is happening in Germany as well. It's happening around the world. But there is one aspect of this polar vortex today that's not being talked about on other channels, and I want to look at that now. That is that the cold temperatures, if you look at the map, it aligns very precisely with this, which is a map of the U.S. wheat-growing zones. And in fact, Arlen Suderman put out a tweet earlier today that said, actually, as temperatures fell to minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit, lots of damage because we don't have a lot of snow cover right now to insulate the wheat, the winter wheat crop underneath that. It's just been very exposed to these extreme temperatures. And so, in fact, Commodity Weather Group estimates a whopping third of our hard red winter wheat crop has been susceptible to significant damage right now, and about 15% of it on top to spotty damage, bringing, of course, a total of 45% of our wheat crop being damaged today alone. Now, it's pretty remarkable in any case to think about some weather event causing damage to nearly half of the U.S. winter wheat crop. But this becomes particularly troublesome in light of the fact that we're in this global grain shortage right now, and other countries around the world are taking steps to protect their domestic food prices. Like we just saw Argentina a couple days ago say, we're really trying hard not to stop exporting our wheat, to put a ban on our wheat exports. Of course, what that means is, if they do it, then we won't be able to buy wheat from Argentina. And other countries, again, around the world, will, it cascades, right? Other countries will stop exporting wheat. They will hold on to what they have so that they will have bread for their own people. So when you see the U.S. in this precarious situation, unable to find another country on earth from whence to import their wheat, and losing nearly half of our wheat in a single serving, this is something we should be paying attention to. So just a brief look at a few different aspects of this current polar vortex that we're enjoying right now. My heart goes out to those of you in Texas. I've got plenty of friends and family there, and so I'm keeping in touch with those of you that still have your cell phone batteries. I also do want to mention, while I've got your attention, that YouTube is currently giving strikes to the Ice Age Farmer channel. So if you value this broadcast, get off YouTube now. Please find this channel on bitchute.com/iceagefarmer or odyssey.com/@iceagefarmer. You should have already done it. because there are only a few of you on those other channels compared to here on YouTube, and I am already posting content exclusively to these other platforms. So if you're still here on YouTube, you are missing out, and soon you will be missing out completely. It's just a matter of time now. The strikes are rolling in today. One was on the social vaccine syndemic video. I'll put a link to that on BitChute below so you can see what is being censored actively right now. But we'll leave it there. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. You can find this report and all my reports always directly at iceagefarmer.com. If you value this information and want to keep this broadcast online, please help me keep it running. There's a few ways you can do that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. And that's what funds the server that runs iceagefarmer.com. That's how this whole thing keeps online. So I very genuinely appreciate your help there. All right, folks, thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing this broadcast. And please stay warm and keep growing food. Be well.